Hi, this is Chip Zdarsky, and this is the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.
Well, greetings, Cap fans. Welcome to episode 181 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm Rick Verbanis, I'm your host, and I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. His name is Bob Lucius. Now, this is the part of the opening where I change it up and I do something different. But I'm gonna do a little do a little testing of Bob this time. Perhaps maybe make a little bit of game of it. I'm going to pick some lyrics, and then he has to guess why I am doing this particular opening. So here we go. Oh, Bob. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Oh, Rick.
Yeah. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you? By the way, hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Francis Scott Key, Star Spangled Banner. War of 1812.
Think of other lyrics in the song.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
All right.
You're gonna ask me like, what's the third verse?
No,
That
no, no,
nobody
no, no.
know or
All
something
right, here
like
we go.
that.
Here we go.
All
You
right.
ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, say, can you see
Yep.
by the dawn's early light
Got it.
what so proudly we hailed
Yep.
at the
Dawn's early light.
Twilight's last
Oh, Twilight's last
gleaming?
gleaming. Twilight's last. All right. Okay. Okay.
Come
Okay. All right. It's
on.
so obvious. It should.
Right?
It could have bit me on the nose. I was looking for some like deeper, hidden sort of
I'm
like
not always that
parallels.
deep, Bob.
I was like, okay. It's a metaphor. Okay.
Did he sing it in the right Scott key?
Jeez. Right. Yeah. Ah. Yes.
Yes. All right. So
Nice.
why am I picking this for you, Bob?
Because we're gonna ply our way through Avengers Twilight number one.
Indeed, indeed. And so I wanted to pick some of the lyrics in there that I thought were important to this issue, of course, because I do that. Rockets red glare, bombs bursting in air. We're gonna get a little bit of that in this story.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
hey, guess what, Bob? Our flag was still there.
Still there.
At
Yeah.
least on the very last page of this
Right.
story.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that today. We're going to get
All
to
right.
Avengers Twilight number one. It's a new story that's out there in Marvel right now. I think maybe four issues are out of the 6-issue
Yeah.
miniseries.
Yeah.
And this first issue came out in January, and we're plowing through them. And it's an amazing, amazing story by Chip Zdarsky and Daniel Acuna. And so, listen. You got to come back next episode because we're going to actually have Chip on the show to talk about this particular story, as well as some of his other Captain America work that he did with the Invaders and so on, and the rest of his work that he's doing on Batman and sex criminals and you name it. So that's going to be a fun conversation with Chip next episode. But today, Bob, we're going to get into a really cool story that features one Mr. Steve Rogers.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, this is gonna be a fun read, right? I think a lot of folks are really enjoying this series thus far, and a lot of folks maybe haven't even heard of it yet. So I'm hoping that some of those folks are listening and might get their curiosity tweaked a little bit, and they're gonna go out there and pick up a copy or two or three or four of the issues out and read through them because it is a tale worth telling.
Indeed. Well, before we get to that, Bob, how are you? How's your week going?
Pretty good, Rick. I had a little dental work done this week. So that was, I've been putting it off for a year. I cracked a tooth like a year ago and I just really hadn't had time to take care of it. And anyway, today was the day. So like a 2-hour appointment, went in for one of those deep cleanings because it'd been so long since I'd been to the dentist. Super fun. super fun. A lot of like vibrating instruments. So I really enjoyed that.
I know you like things like doctors doing things down your gullet, right?
Yeah,
because
oh,
you know,
right,
you've
yeah.
had some anoscopy of some sort.
Right. Yeah. It's
right?
it's a form of training, Rick. As I've told you before, I used to be in a human intelligence collection, and they send you through a school called the Joint Military Attaché School. It's outside of Washington, D.C.
And this is where you hire escape things down the crack of your pants.
That's exactly it. Thank you for paying
attention.
So you
can get away. Yeah.
You got to make your
own
toolkit. You got to make your own toolkit that fits, you know, in your butt crack. But one of the other things they do is, you know, they constantly put the fear in your head that you're going to be kidnapped and tortured. And so to prepare you for that, they give you all sorts of training. Of course, most people go to countries like Paris, you know, they go to France or, you know, England, you know, nobody's getting kidnapped in France or England. But there are some countries, and some of my colleagues did go to countries where it was super dangerous. And you always had to be on your toes. So they're rattling around in there. You know, it was a little bit like I was laying there thinking, wow, this is a bit like waterboarding, you know, because they're constantly spraying that water in your mouth, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And every now and then they're like, oh, close your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But I'm like, I need to do it now, do it now, do it now, right?
Because okay. You know, Bob, we're on YouTube now. So there's actually a video. So you may not want to make that face and gesture again.
It's have you seen?
Someone's going to cut a video clip of just that.
Have you seen Ricky Stenicki yet? Probably not, right?
No.
It's on, I think it's on Netflix or Amazon. It's got John Cena. And it's these.
I like John Cena. Okay.
It's these three friends that like grew up since they were like 12, right?
Uh-huh.
And they learned like when they were 12, they did something really bad. The guy's house on fire. And to like get out of trouble, they blamed it on a fourth friend named Ricky Stenicki, who didn't exist. And it worked so well that they continued to use Ricky Stenicki as an excuse for things as they grew up and became professionals in their careers. And like, if they ever wanted to get away for a weekend away from their wives, they'd say they had to go out and help Ricky Stenicki. But eventually it caught up to them and people were starting to catch on. So they had to hire somebody. And there was this down and out actor, John Cena, to pretend to be Ricky Stenicki. And so there's a great scene. It has William Macy, great actor.
He's great.
They hire Ricky Stenicki, gets, you know, this job, and he convinces the CEO of a company that every time he does a speech, he's always doing this. And that's why, like he never gets any of the mergers go through or anything, like, because he's always like, and what I'm saying is, it's absolutely hilarious, you know?
Uh-huh.
Same guy who did, like, Something About Mary and Dumb and Dumber, you know, those guys.
Oh, okay, the Coen brothers, right?
The Farrelly brothers, yeah.
Farrelly brothers.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Coen brothers are different, okay.
Different guys, yeah.
Yeah,
so it was a funny little movie. Very inappropriate.
Well, you're talking about all this dental stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I we're on cliffhanger here. What's going to happen with Bobby and braces?
Oh, Friday. He's going in Friday.
So, yeah?
Yeah.
You went with the $400 route, or did you go?
We did go with the cheaper route, yes. But that was his choice. He all his friends go there, and parents are happy. And so he just felt more comfortable. And so
he's
he's super excited to go and get these on, which is like blows my mind, because I'm sure, you know, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, like there were two kids in school that had, had braces, but now everyone does.
Oh, and you always felt so bad for the ones that had headgear.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And now they're bejeweled.
Yeah. You mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So he's really looking forward to it. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so no comic for me for a while.
All right.
Yeah. So what's going on with you, my man?
Ooh. You know, I think I told you this past weekend I was going to be doing like the dad stuff, right? And so my son has the lead role in this musical that tours 85 cities in 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And so he was performing in local in this place called NJ Pack. And it was just a big theater. It's a big theater with like four like mezzanines, right? Like terraces, you know, that look down over. I mean, we're talking thousands of people here, right? And but it they're all little kids. They're all little kids with their parents or grandparents, and because he's playing the character of Blippi. And so I'm going to tell you right now, anybody out there who's got preschool age kids know who Blippi is. It's like huge, right? It's a phenomenon. And listen, go on blippiworldtour.com or whatever, and check to see if Blippi's coming to a city near you, and then you can go and see my son perform. But anyway, so I'm there on Saturday, and it is surreal seeing like it's like a rock concert. Like, you know, they get up and they dance and they're singing, and you know, and watching on stage. And but I told you I had a shirt made, right?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you how the shirt worked.
Shirt went really well.
Did it?
And I had a picture of him, and then it said, "I'm proud to be Blippi's dad."
Yeah.
And it was on the front and the back. And so I didn't get the creepy old guy,
Thank
you
goodness.
know, yeah, because I was
Yeah.
there by myself. So,
Yeah.
but I did. I had a great time. It was just and then Sunday, helping my daughter perform. Or I didn't help her perform, but I pushed props, you know,
Yeah.
for her performance on Sunday. So, you know, it was a great weekend being a dad and seeing my kids perform.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, Bob? We've got some stuff going on the Facebook page right now. And right now we got Cap Madness, which is our tie-in with the March Madness bracket, and it is 32 Captain America comic book artists over the course of 80 plus years. And basically, if you're not part of the Facebook group, you need to go to the Facebook group because this is a lot of fun. And we kicked it off a few days ago. So if you're listening to this or watching this on the day it comes out, this is day four. So if you look at the bracket right now, Bob, we don't know what happened in the previous 3 days, but I could take a good guess, right? So in bracket, the first day one is it was number one versus number 32. And listen, you and I both love Carmen Canero.
We
We
do.
think she did an amazing
Yeah.
job on Captain America: Sentinel of Liberty, but she had the unfortunate thing where she had to go up against Jack Kirby.
Oh, yeah, that's hard. That's
Yeah.
difficult. Yeah.
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 And
That's
then
mine.
I'm sorry, the 2 versus 31, again, unfortunate Mr. Luke Ross had to go up against Mike Zeck. And just so everybody knows, 3 years ago when we did this, the final two, the championship was Kirby versus Zeck. So that's why, you know, they're ranked 1 and 2. And then yesterday, to me, this one was a little harder. It was number three, John Romita Sr. versus Andy Kubert. Who you voting for that one?
Definitely for me, it would be Romita. Yeah.
Romita Sr.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
my goodness, he's had such a contribution for a long period of time. Yeah,
And
I
he
know.
cleaned up a lot of Kirby's faces too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then today is if noon today Eastern time, kicking off is 4 versus 29. It's John Byrne versus Dave Hoover. So I think these early ones are pretty easy, and then it's going to get a little bit more challenging as the weeks go as the days go on, and of course the weeks go on. So
Yeah.
but it's a lot of fun. So go on to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Facebook group. If you haven't registered yet, just go ahead and register it. It's a private group. We do that because we keep out the numbnuts, right? We keep
Yeah.
out the riffraff, the people who are just there to want to talk about Chris Evans and complain about this and complain about that. We have a very positive group. So anyway, join that. And then every day at noon Eastern time, go on there and vote for your favorite.
Yeah, get involved. And you know, don't be shy about sharing some examples of the work and why you think, you know, that person deserves your vote, has earned your vote. So it's always great to, you know, to just put that out there so other folks who are considering their vote have a little something to digest.
Indeed. Yeah, that's always a lot of fun. What else is going on? Oh, Bob, we gotta start preparing. It's draft season is coming up.
Oh, I thought you meant like the beer.
No, yeah. that's
every season.
Yeah. We don't stop on that.
Yeah.
We had so much fun last August doing the Captain America Fantasy Draft, where you and I went back and forth and we picked characters and then we formed stories and we submitted our stories to the Facebook group, and then people voted on which story they which team cast of characters mm-hmm. they liked better, and that was a lot of fun.
We had
a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, it was challenging because I'd never done any fantasy draft before.
Yeah, that was obvious. Your first pick was Sergeant Duffy.
I love Sergeant Duffy. Such a great character. I mean, my goodness.
I wasn't going to take him. You could have saved him for pick 10. You know,
I like to build suspense. You know, if you go.
Hopefully, you've learned your lesson.
No, I haven't. Haven't at all. So
okay. Well, Sam, we're looking for two more people to add to this, right, Bob? So it's going to mm-hmm. be you, me, and two others that are going to be picking characters. And if we're gonna open this up to our patrons, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, we always like to do fun things for them because they help support us. And so we're going to throw that out to our patrons first to see if we can find two people who are interested. And, you know, if we get more than two people, then we'll have to, you know, put some names in a hat and something like that. But let us know if you want to, be part of the draft, you know, and you're going to have to come up with, you know, your own draft scheme and everything like that. But here's the key. Here's the key, right? You got to be able to do it on Tuesday, April 9th, 8 p.m. Eastern. So if you could do that, if you could do that date, then you go ahead and hit me up, you know, send me an email or send me a message on Messenger, and I'll add you to the list of people who want to do this. So that'd be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
You won't regret it. It'll be a blast.
Yeah. All right, Bob, should we get to today's comic?
Yeah, let's do it. This is exciting. I can't wait to jump in.
All right. Well, this is Avengers Twilight number one. And by the way, Twilight's Last Gleaming, right? Does that ring a bell to you by any chance with anything else related to Captain America?
Oh my gosh. It sure does. It's rattling around in there. Was that a story arc at some point?
It was a story. It was a title to a Mark Gruenwald story.
And
it happened to be the last Mark Gruenwald story.
There you go.
Yeah, remember when you, me, and John Sewell and also Jason Olsen came on the show, and we did that, and it was a good show.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, that makes some sense. That, gosh, get a chance to ask Chip about that, and maybe there's a connection.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Let's get to this one. So I'm gonna grab my copy. There we go.
You got to do something because I can't hear. I don't know if you've lubricated that spinner rack, but I got to hear that.
There's no.
No?
So this, yeah. I bought this rack. Let me see if you can. There we go.
Uh-huh.
I bought this rack a couple of years ago and off of a comic book store, and he had a bunch of, and this was the cheapest one he had, and it was also obviously in the worst condition.
Yeah.
And so I took it, I pressure washed it, I hand sanded everything, and then I painted it, and then I took out the, you know, it has the original gear, but I did clean it out and lubed it and everything like that so that it doesn't squeak or anything like that. And it's in, it looks like it's brand new.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun. I like having it.
Yeah. I dated a girl once years ago. She wanted me to buy her a rack, but turned out it was a very different thing she was talking
about. Oh yeah.
About.
Yeah.
So
did you also lube it as well? Or was it too squeaky?
It's very squeaky. It's very
too
squeaky.
Squeaky.
Yeah, very squeaky. She was very squeaky. Yeah. So.
I bet. All right. Yeah. So what cover did I get? I got the Frank Miller variant.
Oh, wow. You know, there's something, there's like 16 variants that I know of for, in addition to the regular cover A. There are a lot of variants
for number
one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking up on comicbookrealm.com, which is like a, you know, place to like,
yeah,
you know, get pricing, everything like that. And I'm looking at the issues number one. And believe it or not, the first issue, like the Alex Ross cover, the standard cover, they have that as like $20.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
For a $5.99 book.
Yeah.
And yet these other variants are like six, eight, 10. And yet the standard cover is the one that's is the most money, besides, like, you know, obviously like the 1 in 25s or 1 in 50s and things like that. There's harder
Right.
ones to get. But
Yeah. Yeah.
I always find that surprising.
Yeah.
Issue two is actually going, the Alex Ross cover is going for $8. So that's also above
Yeah.
cover price. So
That's
so that
curious,
tells
right?
me this is a hot book right now, that people, you know, maybe
Yeah.
didn't put it on their pull list, and then they're hearing about it and they're like, oh, I got to get
Yeah.
that now.
I think it's
Back
on
issue prices are higher.
They're on the third print for issue one, so.
I do see here a second print. I didn't know there was a third.
I think I just saw that. I was on I don't know, one of the online comic book stores that I frequent, putting in a, I use Golden Apple, and I thought I saw that. Yeah, they had the third print up. So
they have a second print for number two too.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah. So
I don't think we. I mean, these aren't really key books, right? I mean, there's no. I guess there's that. There's a couple new characters.
Well, here's a funny thing. If you go to MarvelFandom.com,
yeah,
right, and you look this up,
yeah,
every character, it says first appearance.
Right. Well, it's a different Earth. Yeah.
Yes, this is the first time of this Earth. So
yeah,
everybody's a first appearance, which
yeah,
just blows my mind, because I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, like, I wanted to look up like Jarvis,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, is there a Jarvis? But it's like first appearance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a Kyle Jarvis.
Yeah.
Like, now, and I ran out of time to go to check it out, because I'm fairly certain at some point Edwin Jarvis mentioned he had a brother or something like that. But I don't know
Sure.
if it's
Yeah.
this Kyle guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Every one of them, like Luke Cage, first appearance. I was like, what?
Shield, first appearance.
First appearance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So,
shall I really read the solicitation, Bob?
Yeah, you know I love those.
All right. In a gleaming new world of prosperity. Gleaming. Gleaming, Bob.
There you go. Yeah.
In a gleaming new world of prosperity, Captain America is no more. But Steve Rogers still exists, floating through an America where freedom is an illusion, where the Avengers are strangers and his friends are long dead. But is the dream? How do you assemble Avengers in a world that doesn't want them? That's intriguing.
It is.
And also, Steve Rogers still exists floating. As soon as you hear that, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking suspended in ice. Like,
yeah.
Like they chose that word for a reason,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Marvel really, you know, pushed this too. I mean, like, you know, they did, they had a video that they put together, you know, and then they did a sneak peek of like the first five pages, and they really promoted this because I think they knew it was going to be probably under ordered, but a hot book or, you know, an interesting book, and they were right.
Yeah. Yep. They are right. And I can't wait to share that with our listeners slash viewers.
All right, Bob, what cover did you get?
Just the cover A, man. Yeah. And it was tough because, you know, some of them, some of those variants were pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, some of them were artistically beautiful. I always like the Scotty Young covers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was tempted for that one because it had Cap on it. But I, you know, cutbacks, man.
Braces.
Cutbacks, so just cover A. So,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get to the credits here. Now, I already mentioned Chip Zdarsky. Is the writer, and Daniel Acuna is the artist. Now, he's not just the artist, he's painting this, right? So, and I don't know his process. I don't know if he's doing pencils first and then he's painting over top of them. So he is the artist. And then we have the editors, right? So Tom Brevoort is the editor. And which is interesting that Alana Smith is, her name's not on here. But, you know, I think this was kind of like a brainchild of Tom back in the day. So he's the editor. And then there's an assistant editor, Martin Biro, associate editor, Annalise Bisa. Also listed on here is designer Chip Zdarsky. So a lot of people may not know this because they know Chip as writer of Daredevil, writer of Batman. But he's an artist as well. And so he put some design work into this, probably to work with Alonzo Acuna to you know, I guess trade back and forth some ideas. But anyway, that's those are the creators of the book. You want to take us through the cover, Bob?
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly can speak to the cover A, regular cover. It's the Alex Ross cover, and you know, it's a stunningly beautiful cover, one of many available. But this one, to me, as an Alex Ross cover, I think a lot of folks really appreciate his covers. I certainly do. Mm-hmm. And in this one, we've got Captain America. I mean, he's almost taking up the entire front cover, very large format. Captain, you're very close up to him, and he's got that typical hero pose where, you know, he's got the right knee down and he's got the mm-hmm. right, you know, hand spread out in placement, and then his, you know, his left knee is in the air but his foot is planted firmly with his left arm cocked behind him with his fist ready to go, and he's got a look of serious determination on his face. And we see, I don't know what it is, but there's some sort of light that's emanating from the lower right hand corner of the cover. So could be an explosion, could be, you know, the lights of the city, could be mm-hmm. You know, fire truck, who knows, right? But there's something going on, and he's in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. But he's got a slightly different uniform than we're used to seeing. So it's a skin tight uniform, Rick. See,
nice.
I can grow.
Yeah,
I can learn and I can grow.
So,
so you know, it looks, you know, it has that texture to it. It looks like it has that almost like a Batman, you know, that sort of Kevlar impregnated, rubberized, you know, feel to it. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's that dark. Not quite a navy blue, but very close approaching that, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got his red, you know, his red gloves and his gauntlets, and he's got some weird, I don't know what it is. They're on his shoulders, and they look like backpack straps a little bit, but they seem to be a little bit of like maybe some ancillary armor on top of his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it covers the sides of his torso. You know, it stretches down to where his belt would be. And you can see some extra material might be on the sides of his torso, which, you know, in terms of a suit of armor, that would be a really important thing to do, you know, to protect mm-hmm. your sides, which can be really vulnerable. And then on his knees, he's got, you know, some looks like knee pads. But again, they look to be some sort of metallic armor protecting his kneecaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he's got that fabulous utility belt, right, with the pouches, because, you know, I'm a big fan of Cap's pouches. But the familiar white star in the center of his chest, and of course the red and white stripes. In this case, what we can see anyway from this first look at him is it looks to be three stripes, one red right in the center and a white on each side. So, and then the familiar A on his helmet.
Yeah, you know what's missing? There's a couple things here missing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the wings on his mask.
Right.
And not only does he not have the protruding ones, but he also doesn't appear to have any of the ones that are like, you know, painted on the side either.
Right.
And very noticeably missing his shield.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Where is Cap's shield? That is not something you see very often. Captain America without his shield. But yeah, really, really cool cover. Yeah, Alex Ross does a good job, but you could also see in the face that he is doesn't look like the same Steve Rogers, right?
He's not a young man.
Yeah, he does look a little older, a little rugged. Some wrinkles there, maybe some scars. Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe some whiskers too there, right? He's seen some miles. Let's just say that.
All right, moving on to, you open up the front and it's the title page, which has all the credits and everything. And it says Avengers Twilight Book One. And the title to this one is, Bob,
The Best of Us.
The Best of Us. So we open it up and it is a black panel. It's dark. And then you see an inner monologue and you could tell it's Steve, because there's a little white star in the box. Young or old, every day starts the exact same way. You open your eyes, even if you don't want to. And most days before I hear her voice, I really don't. And so we see Steve open up his eyes, and it is a wrinkled face, wrinkled eyes. A lot of little crow marks around the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you cut to his bed table as he sits up from his bed, and he's just got like some shorts on and nothing else. And his hair is all messed up, but it's a little white on the sides and maybe a little white on the eyebrows. But he's still got some blonde on top. And the side of the bed is his table, and it's got glasses and looks like a prescription bottle.
Yeah, it looks like some pain medicine, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm not an expert. You probably have more knowledge of this, but you know, I'm like scrutinizing it and I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, it's like one or two tablets every 4 to 6 hours. I mean, this guy's in some pain.
Why the hell do I have more experience with this?
Well, I just assumed your professional career.
I take pain pills.
Well, you just struck me as a sort that, yeah, would.
What does my career have to do? I'm not a boxer. I mean, I know you're looking at me, right?
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it's a good question, Rick. I just, I know that you've got experience in the world, so.
Okay, I'm going to let this one go because obviously you've dug yourself too deep. And we hear a voice off panel. Come on, old man. No lazing about. Plenty of pigeons to feed out there. Coffee in bed. What I do to deserve this? Just grateful my living legend is still living. For now. And then we see... this lady, how would you describe her, Bob?
She's middle-aged as well. I mean, we could tell here that Cap is a little bit longer in the tooth.
You know, you throw middle-aged around there a lot, and I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't look middle-aged.
You don't think?
No. Ooh, no, he looks older.
I'm thinking middle-aged is, 50s, 60s.
40 is middle-aged. Okay,
well,
40s and 50s, maybe?
Yeah.
Because think of the definition of middle age.
Well, I know,
right?
but I don't think
well,
we
men
categorize
die
it that.
in their 80s typically on average, right?
Yeah.
Halfway, middle, you're talking late 30s, 40s, maybe early, you know, mid 50s, maybe late 50s if you really want to push it, middle age. But then if you hit 60, you're starting to look, that's just more like of a senior. And I know I'm pissing off some of our listeners
well,
right
I don't
now.
know, you know, because I don't think, I mean, we're obviously, we don't count when we do, you know, when we think of, you know, middle-aged, older folks, you know, younger folks, we're not counting people, you know, who are in their tens, right? We're not counting teenagers, right? It
we're
really
not.
Starts at adulthood. No.
They're not aged?
I don't think we, when, at least I, when I can, when I think about middle-aged, I'm not considering, you know, middle age being from birth. Right, I'm thinking it in terms of adult years, adult, you know, generations.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but
okay.
and I think that's changed over the years, right? I mean,
yeah.
obviously, as lifespans extend, the period of middle age can,
oh,
can
yeah.
change, I mean, and they're not necessarily always, you know, in my view, anyway, they're not always equal periods, you know, in terms of decades.
So you think. Middle age is only for adults. It's have an adult and then the clock ticks as far as so
right.
Explain this to me. So
yeah.
All right. So when does that start? Like 20, 25? Like
no,
what?
Yeah, but 20s, right? Your 20s, your 30s. I
okay,
consider
well,
younger adults.
I want it specific. 20,
that's
25.
20s is a decade.
20s
a
decade.
And you can glob on 18, you know, 18, 19, you know, adult years until you're probably in your 40s, mid 40s to probably mid 60s, I think would be middle age, and anything above that would be more senior years.
This is fascinating to me, but I don't think it's fascinating to our listeners. So I'm going to move on.
Well, don't ask me then about my PhD dissertation and how we defined the generations in turn, you know, to come to the generations that I studied. So, yeah.
I definitely am not asking you that. All right. So he's sipping his coffee out of a coffee mug that's got a circle. A blue circle with a red circle in it and then a big white star. Not quite Captain America's shield, but
right. It
certainly is in that ballpark.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, she made the comment, just grateful my living legend is still living for now. My doctor says I'm fine. Just a mild arrhythmia. Yeah, well, I'm also your doctor, and I say take it easy today. And then she gives him a kiss on the cheek. Besides going through all the storage stuff in the living room, so we stop living in a museum. Yes, doctor. Rose is being extra nice today. She thinks I don't notice. She hopes I forget. It's August 13th. And he sits on the edge of his bed still, and he's there by himself, and he's looking out his window, and looks like he's in downtown Manhattan. And he gets up and he's walking and he's again got his mug and he's walking through the hallway and looks like there's a little robot vacuum cleaner kind of scooting by him.
It does. Yeah. It looks like it's making some noise and you see like sort of the noise symbols coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. And then he walks by and he sees a framed poster. And what is the poster, Bob?
Well, it's obviously a younger Steve Rogers, and he's not wearing his mask, but he's wearing his Captain America uniform and he's giving the thumbs up, and it looks like it's a campaign poster because it says U.S. Senator Rogers.
Yeah. And he looks at that and he kind of frowns and he says, I don't get to forget. Now, that's interesting, right? Because then we'll turn the page and it moves on. But so something happened on August 13th that his wife, his companion, I don't know who she is. You know, I think it's his wife, but basically is trying to, you know, hope that he doesn't think about it. But he says, I don't get to forget, because as we know, Steve has an eidetic memory and he remembers everything.
Right. Yeah. And obviously, whatever the memory is a burden to him. You can tell just by the way he composes himself, the way he's carrying himself.
Yeah. So we cut to the next page, and it is a very bright, very busy city. Think of, I would say, the movie Blade Runner, with like all
The happy version.
yes, but a nice, friendly,
Yeah.
bright version of Blade Runner with all
Right.
the stuff going on.
Yeah.
And we also see a couple of police officers, but they're standing there, and they have helmets on, right? So you can't see who they are. And Steve's just walking with his jacket, and he's got some sort of fedora type hat on, right? And he's got his hands in his pockets, and he's just shuffling along the sidewalk. And he looks inside a store, and he sees like a Captain America t-shirt on a mannequin, and a cartoon version of Captain America. And he says, "The world won't let me forget." "Excuse me, are you Captain America? Like the original?" "Yes, ma'am." "Oh, wow. You mind if I a selfie?" "Of course not. I would never." Right. "Sorry, my mind isn't what it used to be." "Is that why you're late meeting me?" And next page, we turn and we see a very older looking black gentleman with a white cap on, and he's got some sort of
Like an exoskeleton here.
around him, right? I mean, he's just kind of wearing his normal civilian clothes, but there's this skeleton around him is kind of, I guess, helping him walk. And so they're now him and Steve are crossing during traffic here. "Come on, man. Matt's waiting in the park." "Sorry, Luke. Slow start." "You kicking coffee now? You usually..." "Rosa made me one already. Hand delivered to the bed." "Ah, 'cause it's H day. H day." And then so that we determine when he says Luke, this is Luke Cage. This is an older Luke Cage. And he's working with a cane, and this exoskeleton, I guess, is there to kind of help him. And they come up on an old man sitting on the bench with his cane and his dark glasses and white hair. And it turns out, when you say Matt's waiting in the park, is this Matt Murdock, aka Daredevil?
Wow, he's old too.
Yeah. And he takes a sniff. "You wear an old man cologne even when you were young. Matt, how's it going?" "Horrible, Steve. Overrun with cases. That damn Watcher Act is turning every kid with an old camera phone into a criminal." And he says "criminal" in quotes. "Not to mention these bleep terror curfews, like Hydra is even a threat anymore. You're a good man." We turn the page as they're sitting in the park. "I'm glad you decided to reopen your legal clinic." "Yeah, well, somebody's got to do something." "Matt, I told you. I tried. A run for office and a sound rebuke from the voters showed me that I'm just an old soldier, wishing for days gone by. Guess we should feel sad about the old man with the beautiful wife and the nice home, staring at a gently swaying flag all day. Stop it. There's no super soldier serum in my body anymore. I volunteer at the food bank, at the Veterans Center. What are you doing, Luke?" "Oh, I've got my thing. Don't you worry about me. But I'm just an ex-mayor. You're a symbol. Rights are being squashed, and your voice means something against that. But the majority of people don't want help. They voted for this over and over. Nobody wants to listen to me. It doesn't matter what they want to, they need to. I'm tired of these bastards, Steve. I'm tired of their eyes. And then just as we hear Matt say that, it cuts to this floating globe that's just going around. And I guess, you know, it's security, right?
It's a surveillance, monitoring. Like a surveillance drone of some sort. Yeah.
Next page, we cut back to Steve and Rose's apartment. And Steve's doing some cooking, Bob. What's it look like he's cooking there?
Yeah, it looks like he's got, I know it looks to me like he's got some veggies in there, maybe some salmon. I don't know. He's doing a little stir fry.
Sure, I can't help. I feel bad. You're the one who has a job. I really don't mind. All right, then. How was coffee with Matt and Luke? Still fighting the good fight? They are. Tried to put a guilt trip on me for not doing enough myself. Sounds like them. You've given your life for this country. You still do good work, I guess. But that's as Steve Rogers. They're more interested in what Captain America can do. Oh my God. Do they want you to put a big letter A on your head again? Slip into your skin-tight blue pants? I'm sorry, Steve, but you can do plenty of good without all of that. And then as he's coming to serve dinner, the TV news comes on. And Bob, you do such a good job at the news announcers. You want to do this one?
Oh, I'd be thrilled, Rick. Thank you. Tomorrow night, the first of a three-part documentary on the notorious World War II figure, the Red Skull.
What the blazes? And then we see up on the screen, and by the way, this is the TV station FNN, which I think is a nice little medley there of an amalgam, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then has the number 4, almost like a Fantastic Four
it
circle.
Does. I
right?
didn't notice that the first time through.
And has a picture of Red Skull in his Nazi uniform with a Nazi flag kind of, I don't know, bellowing behind him, right? Just
right, yes.
Right?
Yeah. History painted Johann Schmidt as Hitler's right-hand man, but recent evidence shows Schmidt worked against Hitler, trying to take the Führer down from within the Third Reich, sacrificing his own face, his family, and his reputation for decades after.
And it says on the screen, read between the lines, part one, the lost Nazi. And so Steve hears this and he's like, this is how.
Join us this week as we explore the history of the man known as the Red Skull and the men who came after, further twisting his story. Episode one, The Lost Nazi, debuts at 9 p.m. tomorrow night, only on FNN.
Schmidt only tried to take down Hitler so he could lead the Nazis. How can they? Steve, they're just trying to whip up some fake controversy. Don't fall for this. I'm just, nobody cares about the truth anymore. Nobody. And he just walks away from her and he walks into the bedroom. He sits down on the bed, puts his elbows on his knees, and he picks up an old photo in a frame, and it's him with the Avengers. It's Thor and Iron Man and Wasp and Giant Man. And he says, nobody cares. And he looks at Iron Man, and it's basically Tony Stark without the mask on, but he has the Iron Man armor. And then we cut to the next page. On the scene is Iron Man and the rest of the Avengers. Iron Man, how did you discover the Hydra bombing plot? Well, Andrew, I wish I could say it was Thor's detective work, but we were called in by the FBI, who picked up some chatter. Iron Man is being modest here. He managed to find and defuse a nuclear-level threat in no time. We're constantly amazed at the advancements to his armor, thanks to Stark technology. And so there's a version of Iron Man, a version of Thor, and a version of Captain America here. That's a little surprising, don't you think?
It is. And they're very interesting looking, right? I mean, Iron Man is not quite the classic colors you would expect, right? This one's red with with sort of a bluish tint instead of the standard yellow. And Thor looks reasonably similar, but Captain America is a little bit off, Rick.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a mask that shows his hair.
Yeah.
Which is different.
It is different.
Yeah. And then we cut to somebody watching this news, and he is in a tremendously large room, like a penthouse room, sitting on a tremendously large bed. And it's a young guy. I don't know, what, mid to late 20s, probably.
Yeah.
He's got his shirt off, and he's all tatted up all over. He's very thin, slender. He has dark hair that's kind of wavy, but kind of sticking up and you know, straight up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there, and then walking up to him is an older man, probably Steve's age, but he's dressed in a suit and he's wearing sunglasses, but they not the classic sunglasses, the sunglasses that just tint so you can still see the eyes, right?
Yeah, the fashion sunglasses.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the sunglasses people wear when they were trying to hide how old they are.
Yeah, or if they're Bono.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy on the bed says, "You're welcome. You know, you could be thanked for a lot more if you just agreed to be Iron Man." "Ugh, please, Jarvis. Not this again. Just give me my poor head some coffee." "I'm not your butler, James. That was my brother." "Oh, come on, Kyle. Eddie was more than a butler, and you know it." "Be that as it may, I don't think he would have enjoyed cleaning up after you either. I raised you better than this, James. I just heard from the president. He needs you to come up with a better series of soldier armor now that the Liberia has increased hostilities on the Hungarian border." "I just did that. I don't know what else to add to them." "Well, then, I suppose you should head over to the raft and come up with something." "Great. Anything else, Mr. CEO?" "Well, now that you mention it, the FBI also let us know we may have to help talk down an old friend." And he shows, like, he has a little hologram coming up from the palm of his hand, and he's showing image of Steve Rogers talking to Matt Murdock in the park. All right, so we turn the page, and then we cut to, looks like a newsroom, like a studio, a TV studio, right?
Yeah.
And sitting up there on the stage is Steve Rogers in a very dapper suit, and he's having his microphone put on him. And he's sitting there with the host, a African-American lady with a red dress. And, you know, they're sitting in comfy chairs and, you know, the cameras all around them. And it's evening live news. "Okay, Mr. Rogers, we're going live in 2. I appreciate you having me on." "Oh, we're ecstatic you're here. The crew has been buzzing all day." "Apologies for my tardiness, but looking this good takes time. Hey, Uncle Steve, you good?" And so it was the guy that we just saw, James, right?
Yep.
And he comes up, and he's wearing more of a modern suit, right? And he's all dashed up, and he comes walking up, and he's having his microphone put on, and Steve recognizes him and greets him just as Jimmy. "Wow, I haven't been called that in a long time. You really do live in the past, don't you? Okay, people, throwing to you in 3, 2. The Red Skull, a name synonymous with Nazis and supervillainy. But a recent docuseries put forth the idea that this was, in fact, a cover for the man who tried to take Hitler down from the inside. Today, I'm joined by a true living legend, the original Captain America, Steve Rogers. Thanks for having me, Tammy. And the CEO of Stark Technology, the son of the original Iron Man and Wasp, James Stark. Never too busy for you, Tammy. What I am too busy for, however, is old men trying to shut down free speech. Mr. Rogers here has suddenly become quite vocal that this docuseries shouldn't air. slinking out of retirement only when it's his legacy in danger of being tarnished. That's not even remotely true, James. The Red Skull was a monster. A lot of good men and women died trying to stop him. This travesty of reporting is a slap in the face to those heroes. Ah, heroes. If you keep using the word, do you think everyone will eventually believe it? At what point do these people stop being considered heroes, Steve? You and others, like my father, painted the world as black and white, heroes and villains. But then you brought us H-Day. And then the host refers to it. Hero Day, a national tragedy. And you turn a page, and then all the screens cut back to, gosh, Bob, how would you describe what you're seeing here?
Well, it's a city on fire. I mean, there's destruction everywhere in the city. Buildings are crumbling and falling over. There's flames coming out of lots of buildings on the streets. There's smoke in the air. I mean, it looks like apocalyptic.
Yeah, it is. It's really bad. I'm not here to. A day of reckoning for the superhero community. Hundreds dead. Boston leveled. The day the world woke up and realized there is no line between vigilante heroes and media-dubbed villains. Unparalleled destruction by all. But the death count fell mostly to Dr. Bruce Banner, the Hulk. He was a founding member of the Avengers. Was he not, Steve? I've said before, it was Ultron. He enhanced the villains, took control of Banner. Ah, yes, Ultron, the evil AI created by yet another Avenger, Dr. Hank Pym. How are we supposed to believe you about the Red Skull when you don't even know what a hero looks like? Damn it, Jimmy, I know what a hero looks like. They look like your mom and dad. Are you trying to tarnish their legacies so you don't look as hollow by comparison? And then he gets up and he storms off. I'm not going to let you tear at old wounds for ratings. And then as he's walking out, he literally leaves the room and goes out into the alleyway. Damn it. I shouldn't have let him get to me like that. He's got so much of Tony and Jan in him. They both love to pick fights with me in my old-fashioned ways. He's still a kid, protected by Jarvis's younger brother up in that damn castle in the sky. When I was his age, I was in enemy trenches, watching my friends. We cut to the next page, and it's a different battle, not the one you would expect that he'd be reminiscing about, but instead he's going back to the scene of Boston. Damn it, Tony. We should have been smarter. And then he grabs his heart. Calm down, Steve. Don't slow down, old man. They took the serum from you. They took your magic. Your heart can't. And he's grabbing his heart and he's panting. And then we cut back to a scene from H-Day. And there's a Quinjet. And we see Cap's flying. And his co-pilot is Black Widow. And then sitting in a back seat is Jennifer Walters as She-Hulk. And then flying by the Quinjet is Iron Man. We're en route, Tony. Any updates?
Nothing yet, Natasha. Just that it looks like all secret identities have been blown wide open. Everyone's being lured to their loved ones and ambushed. Groups of supervillains, all enhanced.
Who's doing the enhancements?
I don't know yet, Cap. We need to actually capture one of these guys to study.
All right, we're here, Tony. We'll give a sit rep shortly. Stay safe. Holy, did a bomb go off?
Keep your eyes peeled. And Cap's the only one who leaves the Quinjet, and he walks out. And he's walking, surveilling, looking. And he hears something off panel. Let me turn the page. And it's Spider-Man. A very damaged Spider-Man. He is mask torn, his costume torn. He's laying in wreckage.
Hey, Cap, you should see the other guys. Because I sure didn't.
Son, save your breath. Help is on the way.
Cap, I saved my aunt. Her name's May Parker.
Promise me you'll keep her safe and my identity safe even after I
You'll be fine, son. You'll be...
My name's P... P...
And then he dies. You're Spider-Man, son. You're the best of us. Which is the title of the story. Which, I don't know about you, Bob, but I kind of thought maybe they were referring to Steve Rogers, right?
I did as well. I did as well, Rick.
But so, Steve always had an admiration for Peter Parker.
Right. Yes. It's worth pointing out here that we see Cap in his traditional costume on H Day, not the one we discussed on the count on the cover.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we cut to present time, and Steve's there hunched over and sweat dripping down his head. And then remember those guards, officers that I had mentioned about before? You know, they're in their gear with their helmets on. And they come up to him. Hey, pal, it's almost curfew time. Get indoors unless you want indoors to be a cell. Damn it. What time is it? Of course. Will do, officer. Subways aren't even running now. Not sure how I'll get. One more, man. Got it. Now let's go home. And we cut to the next page, and there are four kids, like, on skateboards, and they're doing tricks, and one of them's got what do you call those?
A video camera, right?
Oh, no, the other kid. He's got, like, a flare. Yes, flare. That's the word I was looking for, yeah. And so the one kid with the video camera, he's, like, you know, doing all this, and then those same three officers come up behind the kids. What do we have here? Illegal recording, out past curfew, and he takes the camera and he trashes it. Curfew isn't for another 10 minutes. Not according to my watch. Think of your heart. Think of Rosa. And he's watching all this. Fascist bleep. Big words for a punk. You can't help here. You're an old man. And he walks up. Officers, I think they've learned their lesson. An old idea. Sir, you best move along. It's curfew. No, son. And then he takes off his glasses. You'd best be moving along. Ha! Guys, you getting this? All right, old man. Plenty of room for you, too, at the... And then he puts his baton in Cap's face, and Cap takes his arm and... basically disarms him and knocks his feet out, knocks him down. You're slower, weaker, but you fought in wars. You fought these types before when they're not beating old men and children. They crumple like newspaper. And he flips one. So he's got two down, but then he gets hit in the back of the head by the club. Run, damn it. Ah, oh, bad knee. Can't. Just need to stay alert, and no, I can't. I can't. And then he's just, the three guys are just beating him with clubs. And the kids run off. Damn, old man's got spunk. Should we take him in? Or just deal with him? And then there's some cloaked people coming up behind. And I say cloaked, it almost looks like they're wearing like rain jackets, like ponchos, you know, with hoods.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come up and they start taking out the officers. Call for backup, call for, come in central. And they're taken down. It's okay, old man. You're not going to die yet. But then they put a hood over his head. So you think they were saving him, but then they put a hood over his head.
It's always nice to see you, James, but I wish you would have given us some more notice. The raft has security protocols, and...
I work when the muse strikes, Maxwell. In this case, my muse is the president breathing down my neck.
I respect that you're only one who can make contact, but our scans are telling us that too much usage could lead to irreparable damage.
Mm-hmm. And?
Well, there's also the danger of the public finding out. finding out. Is that a threat, Maxwell? No, of course not. Because I've given you plenty of advancements for your psycho-rehabilitation programs. So get the bleep out of here. This isn't for you. So he goes into a secure area and goes through several different types of, I don't know, procedures, right? There's like gas and everything. And then now he's in a room. It looks like it's cold because you can see his breath. And what do we see, Bob?
Oh my gosh. It's like a big tank in the center of the room. And in front of that tank looks like to be a control panel. And it looks to have the Iron Man helmet on that control panel. But in the tank, we see a disembodied head floating in some sort of medium liquid or something like that. And it's got the arc reactor attached to the head. Presume this is somebody we know?
I think so. And I think it's confirmed when James puts the helmet on his head, which is connected to the tube. And he says, "Hey, Dad." Wow. All right. So we cut to the next page. First panel, black. You didn't have to blackbag him. Look, it's protocol. He'll get over it. Yeah, well, we'll see, won't we? Hey, Cap. Welcome back. Luke, what is this? Who are you sure about this? He doesn't seem like he'll be on board. He will be, because he knows we're at war. Ain't that right, Cap? And you were made for war. Damn it, Luke. What is all of this? Matt's dead, Steve. What? When? We just saw him. Steve, it's bad out there. I know on the surface it looks fine, but there's rot. We're not getting any of the picture anymore. It's a jigsaw puzzle with just the edges. The government and S.H.I.E.L.D. are squashing political dissidents. The new Avengers are laying waste to countries overseas. No, that's not... I would know. How? The news? The internet? It's all under control of the conglomerate. A group that Jan and Tony's kids are part of. We're trying to get the word out. Been broadcasting to find others. To spread the truth. But it's not enough. We need someone for people to rally behind. And there's only one person for a job like that. I'm not Luke. I can't even protect skateboarding kids. You could, with this. What are you? My God, is that? Mr. Rogers, it's an honor. My name's Carrie, and I've been doing my best to replicate the super soldier serum. Yes, sir. We were hoping to use it on one of us, but they died because it only works on some. Luke, you can't be serious. I am, Steve. I don't expect you to be part of our group of defenders here, working from the shadows. You're Captain Bleepin' America. You're an Avenger. Defenders? This is your group? Nah, I'm just the old man doling out some wisdom. Ever since my bulletproof skin decided to become nearly immovable, I'm all about the knowledge. Amy here is in charge, formerly of the new S.H.I.E.L.D. Same goons who just whooped your geriatric ass. You're welcome, by the way. Matt died defending people who the system was trying to disappear. We've been working nonstop trying to gain intel on all of this. People on the inside have managed to get us photos. Old school of the abuses. These are Americans, and she hands the photos to him. This is what we're up against. And so Steve looks at these images in horror. And then you hear a message. Rosa, it's me. I'm sorry this is a message and not in person. I just need you to know I'm okay. I'm more than okay, really. I won't be home for a while because there's something I need to do. I'm opening my eyes, and hopefully the eyes of others. But I can't do it alone. Rosa,
I'm going to assemble the Avengers. And as he's saying this, time is passing, right? We see calendar days go by, you know, Tuesday the 15th, Wednesday the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. So essentially he's getting that super soldier serum back. He's getting the Vita rays back. He's being experimented on. But as he pointed out, you know, only some people are built to take this. And, you know, whatever that genetic makeup is or whatever it is, right? And so Steve is being transformed back into a super soldier. And then on that last page, you see him standing in front of that new Captain America uniform that you described on the cover. And you can see his body is now back to peak human perfection.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good for an older guy.
To be continued.
All right.
What'd you think, man?
Oh man, I love this. I love this story. So much to like about it. It's clever, it's creative, it's topical. But we're seeing a side of Steve Rogers that we really haven't seen before, right? I mean, we've seen him pre-serum. We've seen him post-serum. In some instances, but we haven't really seen him at this age before.
Haven't we? I mean, you know, we go back to the end of the Rick Remender run when he lost his serum and he became an aged Cap.
But that age, his age just caught up to him.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But he was an old, feeble Cap, Steve Rogers, right?
Yeah. But I have a feeling like this is a lived in old age.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? As opposed to like it just suddenly happening, the age catches up to you.
Sure.
Right? This is a guy who has lived his old age and earned those crow's feet. And that's a little bit different, I think.
Yeah. So I get the impression like this story takes place like 25, 30 years in the future.
Yeah.
Each day, I would say it's probably 20, 25 years after H Day.
Yeah.
So if he had, as he said, his super soldier formula taken from him, you know, he has aged over those 20-25 years just like anybody else would, and that's why you see this age from him, right? You know, I first read this story and I was like, wow, I can't wait for the next one. This is so cool. I had like a Batman Dark Knight Returns kind of vibe to it for me, you know, seeing an aged Bruce Wayne, you know, in a dystopian society, and he's, you know, trying to, and he has a problem with his heart, you know, and he's, you know, I had that vibe going right now, you know, so, and then seeing some guest appearances of older characters, like in Dark Knight Returns, you know, we see Oliver Queen and Selina Kyle and a few others, right? So, yeah, I really enjoyed the story. And I also thought Chip did an excellent job in the transitions, you know, whether it was going back to the H Day, whether it was cutting, you know, back and forth between the different characters and you know, because this story is all new, right? So he's planting, you know, new seeds everywhere. And so I just thought the craftsmanship of the storytelling was really well done too. It flowed very, very well.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, when we discussed the credits at the beginning, you mentioned Chip's role as a designer, because I mean, we are seeing world building, right? I mean, this is an Earth that we haven't seen before. And I mean, it's everything. It's the design of the architecture. It's the design of clothing and technology. I mean, it's the whole package that has to be created from scratch. So, I mean, we're seeing something that, you know, we really haven't seen before. I mean, it's reminiscent of some things like you mentioned, Blade Runner, but we're seeing a whole new world. And it's pretty exciting. Every page has something interesting to see in the background.
Yeah. So we saw Peter Parker, Spider-Man die, right, in a flashback. Matt Murdock's dead. We see Luke Cage. I can't wait to see more characters. I want to see, you know, he says he's going to assemble the Avengers. I want to see, other aged Avengers, you know what I mean? Like, and what happened, you know, apparently Hulk, you know, destroyed Boston, right? So,
Hulk was hacked.
you know, what happened to him? Like, you know, did he, you know, did they somehow capture him, put him down? You know, is he on the loose? I don't know. And then you see these other Avengers, you know, there's a different Thor, different, we think it's a different Thor, right? I mean, I assume so. And then you got a floating Tony Stark head that's just kind of still somehow alive, and being used, like a database, you know?
And you see some crazy stuff going on in the raft, right? I mean, we didn't mention it, but you know, as James is walking to see his dad's disembodied head, he walks by a bunch of different experiments going on, and in one particular area, we see what looks to be the Venom symbiote in a container being experimented on. So there's some crazy stuff going down at the raft, and what's that all about?
Yeah, who do you think that character was that's bald, sitting in a cell and has like a red like circle in his chest area that's glowing?
Yeah, I wondered that as well. I mean, it didn't, I couldn't quite figure out who that was, but that could very well be an important clue to what's coming.
Yeah. And speaking of an important clue, I wonder if this is one, because there is, after this story, a reprint from Avengers 300, where it's done by Walt Simonson and Ralph Macchio, and they go ahead and kind of recap how Loki assembled the Avengers, you know, by mistake, right? And you know, there's so I wonder if that's a clue. Like, is Loki going to somehow end up being involved in all this? Could he perhaps maybe be the Jarvis character in disguise? Like, or is he going to come up somewhere, some way else? I don't know.
That's a good it's good. Maybe he maybe there's yeah I mean obviously if he's he accidentally brought forth the Avengers before, maybe he has a role in bringing them together again.
Indeed. All right, Bob. Let's get to favorite panel, t-shirt worthy, and time capsule. I go first.
All right, do it. Let's
All
do
right.
it.
So I'm going to go with my favorite panel. I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to do my favorite two panels because they're right next
Oh,
to each other.
all right.
I'm going to go with page 20, and they have no page numbers at the bottom, so you just kind of have to count them. But page 20, panels 2 and 3, and this is when Steve Rogers is angry. He's in the hallway and not hallway alleyway, and then the kids are getting picked on, and he says, "Officers, I think they've learned their lesson." And then it cuts to these two panels, and they say, "Sir, you best move along. It's curfew." And he says, "No, son. You'd best be moving along."
Rick,
As he takes
finally,
off the sunglasses or takes
after
off the
all
glasses.
these episodes, you finally stole my panel.
You're serious? I've never done it before.
You've never done it before, but you've done it now. Yeah, that's a great series of two panels there. And that you got to love it, right? I mean, just the I you acted it out there, taking off he takes off his glasses very carefully because glasses are expensive, man. You know, I mean, they're not cheap. I mean, they're cheaper now, you get them online, but they're still expensive, right? So he very carefully takes off his glasses and just lays the law down.
All right. Well, then, time for you to you pivot. What's your favorite panel from this story?
Well, Rick, it's a tough choice. I am going to pivot, but I think it's the panel right before he starts the transformation process. So the second
Oh, yeah.
page to the last page, not the one where he's going through the process, you see the calendar dates on the wall, but just that beautifully simplistic panel right above it that is black and white in the background. And you see a shadowed figure of Steve with his jacket draped over his right arm, and he's holding those photos that he's just been shown. as evidence of what's happening to citizens. And he's pushed his glasses up, but he's got his left hand on the bridge of his nose, and he's broken. And he says, "Rosa, it's me. I'm sorry. This is a message, and I'm not in person. I just need you to know I'm okay." And then he proceeds to, you know, go through that transfer. It's a very simple panel, but it's just full of emotion, right? And you know, like, what he must be seeing must be tearing him up. And if it's tearing him up, there's only one option for Steve.
Yeah, 100%. I like that pick. I like that pick. Good panel. What's going on a t-shirt for you?
All right. Well, I'm not going to go with the obvious one, Rick.
So you say that and you plant that so that no matter what I say, it's going to be like, oh, if you're going to go with the obvious one, go ahead. All right.
No, I'm going to go. I got to have, you know, I can't say no to a panel of Cap smashing the Red Skull with his shield. Just can't.
Oh,
right?
the flashback. Yeah.
The flashback, the newsreel, right? That shows Cap up on the high ground there. And he's got Red Skull, you know, holding him with his left hand as he's bringing his right hand up over his, you know, over his right shoulder with the shield. And he's going to come down and smash the Red Skull. Reminds me of, I have a Bowen statue set. It's the Cap and Red Skull fighting. Similar pose. And I love that pose. And I'd love to see that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I like that.
How about yourself?
Oh, I'm going with the low-hanging fruit. I'm going with the obvious choice.
The one with Steve and Rosa in their apartment. I got it. That was a good choice. Yeah.
So whatever I say now, you're going to tell me that's who it was. I'm going with the very last page.
I'm shocked.
I'm going with the very last page of Steve standing in front of the new uniform. And he says, "I'm going to assemble the Avengers."
It's a great splash.
Right? Page, right. That'd look good on a t-shirt, don't you think?
That would look good on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm saying.
Whatever. I don't know what you're getting at. No.
You're not going to buy that art? You wouldn't buy that art? You wouldn't hang
out? No. I got to cut back, my friend.
Now they have lottery tickets, right? That's a great piece of art, especially if that, you know, painted art like that. That'd be really, really sweet. So,
all right. Time capsule.
Yeah. What are you going to put in your time capsule, Rick?
Well, I think, I'm going to go with the panel of U.S. Senator Rogers in a frame.
Ooh, nice.
Right? Because that to me is certainly signifies a time, right, that happened in Steve's past as he was running for Senate. And it's also, I think, the first time we've seen something like that. So I think it's noteworthy. And that's going in my time capsule.
All right. All right. I'm going with, it's probably the third, you know, maybe, what is it, page? I think it's page three. And, you know, Cap's walking down the street and this woman comes up to him, young girl says, "Oh, aren't you the original Captain or the original?" You know, that's number one. That's interesting. But the other thing is, Steve asks her, "Oh, do you want a selfie?" And she gets a little alarmed and said, "Of course not. I would never." And then you see, on that last panel, he has sort of a weird look on his face. But the guy off to his left shoulder is looking at some sort of like palm device, right? And of course, I immediately
wearing like VR glasses of some
right,
sort.
You know, I'm thinking like, all right, this is 30 years in the future. We're still using handheld phones, right? So it tells me Elon Musk is wrong. The brain chip never panned out. We're still using cell phones. So cell phones, that's going in my time cap because I really thought that we'd be over them 30 years from now.
Yeah. And what's the deal with all the cars in the street? Why aren't they flying?
Why aren't they flying? Exactly. Right. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Well, listen, everybody out there, if you haven't picked up this issue yet, do yourself a favor, pick it up. Read it because it is it elicits a feeling, you know, reading this for me, you know, this dystopian future type of thing. So I can't wait to finish this story and read
all six issues. And I really can't wait until next episode when we have writer Chip Zdarsky on the show to talk about Avengers Twilight and so much more.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to ask him, and I'm sure the patrons do as well. So this is going to be a great show, and I hope maybe we can get some hints about what's coming in the rest of the series.
Indeed. All right, Bob. Well, as always, it's been fun wrapping Cap with you.
It has. I can't wait till next week.
All right. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you have been listening to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.